There's volume. Testing. Thank you. So this morning, before I get started on the message I want to give, I want to talk to you folks a little bit about what's happening as far as our church leadership goes and our search for a teaching elder here. We have talked to three retired pastors, and we've scheduled speakers now through September. So I'll be speaking today. We'll have our first speaker in next week. His name is David Vander something. I've forgotten. they're all Van Hovens and Van B. You know, they're just all Dutch. So we'll have him in. Then I believe Eric will be speaking here to us in a couple of weeks as well. So we've got that scheduled basically through September. And then we are looking at one candidate right now, and we'll be talking more about that as our interviews with him go on. So I want you all to be aware that we are working on this. If you have any questions, I want you to come ask John or Eric or I what's going on and what are we doing, and we want to answer any questions you have, but just be at peace. Things are under control. We have people scheduled to speak, and they'll be showing up on alternate Sundays, and you'll get to know them over the next 3 months or so. Also, just wanted to reiterate the welcome to the fathers, and we'll pray for blessings on those men, faithful men, who are attending this church, because that's what the church is built on, faithful men. Right, this morning I want you to turn to Acts 11. We're going to be talking this morning about what God wants in his church, and what church God blesses. What are the traits of the church God blesses? Because as we move forward, we want to be blessed by God. We want him to see us doing those things that he wants us to be doing and exhibiting those traits that Jesus taught to us to follow. So we're going to look at Acts 11, and we're going to be reading through from 19 through 30, but I will take it in sections. And let me put some glasses on because the light is not that great here. First, I want to read Acts 11, 19 through 21. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. So, these are Jewish believers who have been scattered because of the persecution in Jerusalem over the killing of Stephen, the first deacon martyr. And they're going out into the wider world now. This is approximately 46 AD, so 12 to 15 years after the death of Jesus, they're going out and talking to people about the Lord. And they establish a church here, and we'll see that. And so what are the characteristics of this church that's established in Antioch? So what we want to look for is what are the characteristics that God is going to bless in this church, and we're going to try to glean from that how we should act as a church so that God can bless us as well. So the one thing that they had in that church was the fact that they had some men, not apostles, not elders from the church in Jerusalem, but some men out talking. And the Greek word for spoke is talking normally, not preaching, not teaching in the pulpit or in the church, but just talking normally to the people they met. That means they'd sit and talk at lunch or in their work. They would talk to people and share the good news of Christ, what Christ had done in their lives. And so the great thing about that is that it shows us as a church that anybody that's a member, that's a Christian, that has experienced that saving grace can talk to people about their experience, and it leads to conversion. It doesn't take a prophet, an elder, a deacon, or any officer of the church to make that connection with people on an everyday basis. So the first thing we learn is that God blesses a church where every member is a minister. Men and women can minister to the lost, to tell them of the good news of Jesus Christ. So this church that was founded in Antioch was one of the greatest events in modern history. Not modern history, ancient history. Especially for Western civilization. Think about it now. The church in Jerusalem was a Jewish messianic assembly. There were essentially nobody there in that assembly who was not a Jew. And so if we had been around in that time, we probably wouldn't have been reached with Christ's message. But the establishment of this church in Antioch now led to the Jews talking to Gentiles. And as they talked to Gentiles, the Gentiles believed and were saved. So that's most of us, folks. Most of us are beneficiaries of that earliest church. And that church is still going, by the way. It's called the Antiochian Orthodox Church. From 46 AD to now, it's been in existence. So it's pretty amazing. God has blessed that church. And he blessed us through that church, because that was the major outreach to the Gentiles. So I told you that the founders of that church were just ordinary men who spoke to people that they met in their daily lives, shared the gospel, shared the fact that Christ had died for their sins, and that anyone who believes on him can be saved. But what happened was the church in Jerusalem found out about it. And they were a little bit alarmed, because Jews and Gentiles typically didn't mix, especially in the synagogue. And so word spread that here's this new church in Antioch, and not only are there Jews involved, many Jews were involved, but they've got Gentiles now coming into the church. That kind of set off some alarms. Let's read in 22 through 26 now. So many of them believed in the Lord. So the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of Holy Spirit and faith. So the church leaders, elders, and church members in Jerusalem, I can imagine, were saying, what's going on? We've got Gentiles in the church now, and are they following our precepts? Are they following our laws? Are they following our style of worship? We need to send somebody out there quick to find out what's happening here before things get corrupted. So they sent Barnabas out. And what happened is Barnabas saw people who were full of the Spirit and who had been saved. Now, they weren't following Jewish custom. They weren't following the Jewish laws. And they were sitting and eating and drinking and talking to Jews, which wasn't normal. But in the church, they all mingled together and they all formed one body. Which gives us the picture of the church today, Jews and Gentiles alike. So what happened is that Barnabas saw the church there and he saw that God was blessing it. And he saw that God was blessing it because the gospel was being proclaimed. The gospel was being proclaimed. So that's the second characteristic that we need to look at for this church. Are we proclaiming the gospel? The death and resurrection and saving grace of Jesus Christ. We need to be doing that all the time because that is the most important function of the church, is to minister to the world, to minister to the lost. Well, anyway, Barnabas came in and he found out that these guys were a little bit rough around the edges. They didn't do things exactly like the Jews were doing, but that the grace of God was on them. And he reported back that things are fine in Antioch. Now we're going to read verses 27 through 30. Now in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world, and this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, that they would send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So, what happened here? Some prophets came in and told the Barnabas and Saul, basically, in the church, who were the elders now in the church, that there was going to be a famine in Judea, 300 miles away, and that the church was going to need some help there. And the people gave spontaneously to help that church. They were helping the Jewish church in Jerusalem from the cosmopolitan, huge city of Antioch. They were taking care of their brothers. Now, 300 miles isn't a long distance. It was a long distance then to travel, but it's not a long distance as far as weather patterns and stuff go. So a famine in Judea could easily affect the area around Antioch. And they didn't think, though, wait a minute, we better think about this. Maybe the Jewish brethren can take care of themselves. We will walk out for ourselves because the famine might hit here as well. But they didn't. They were spontaneous. They made the decision to help their Jewish brethren who were now Christians and gave spontaneously. So that's a function that we as a church body can do and God can bless. We can be spontaneous and generous in our giving. If we see someone in need, a brother or a sister, we can do it spontaneously, we can do it generously, and we can do it without any recognition, but just to be faithful to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think that's a characteristic that we want to have here as a church, and God will bless that. Also, God blesses a church where grace is the motivation to remain true to the Lord. So when Barnabas went into the church in Antioch, he noticed a lot of rough edges, as I said, because these pagans didn't give up easily their normal habits. So salvation doesn't automatically turn you into a saint, right? Most people struggle with habits, and some of them bad habits, for a long time before they can, through grace, be given the strength from the Lord to deal with those. But instead of being a pharisaical overseer, Barnabas turned out to be full of grace because he had received so much grace himself. And so he was able to work with this bunch of people that were kind of on the rough side of things in Antioch and teach them. He and Saul spent over a year teaching them about Jesus and how we should be living as Christians. And through that grace grew the church. No legalism, but grace. And so God blesses a church where grace is abundant and legalism is at a minimum. Legalism, meaning anything that's man-made, that doesn't show up in Scripture, that isn't taught to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Man-made rules and impediments to having a relationship with Christ. That's legalism. Finally, we see here that God blesses a church where the leaders set the example of holiness and faith. So Barnabas and Saul, later Paul, were the leaders of this church. They were able to build this church in Antioch through examples of holiness and faith themselves and grace. They were able to set that church on a foundation that allowed them to leave, not only to go to Judea to take the gift that the Antiochian church had sent to the brothers in Judea, but also to go out on missionary trips. But the church survived, the church flourished, because they had set the foundation. And setting that foundation of biblical truth and grace and holiness is what built that church into a lasting 2,000-year-old church today. Again, that's what we want for this church, is to have faithful leaders who are humble, who recognize that they are flawed individuals like all of us are, but trust in the grace of God for dealing with the everyday issues that we deal with, and give others that same grace, right? We don't want to be judgmental at all. What I want to say in conclusion is that the Antiochian church is before us as an example. You've seen it in Scripture. It was a church founded by simple believers who knew that God has called every Christian to serve Him, not just the leadership, every Christian. They proclaim the gospel as the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. They operated by God's grace, not legalism. They saw grace as the motivation to go on with the Lord, because times were tough then for Christians. Times can be tough for us today, but it's nothing like they were then for Christians. Lots of persecution going on. Their leaders set the example and taught them from God's word, which we should be doing every Sunday here, teaching you from this word. They were generous givers, trusting God to meet their needs, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. That's what I pray for this church, that we have those characteristics, and the faith and the boldness to proclaim to those we know, those we come into contact with, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was born of a virgin, that he was sinless, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And if we can believe that and confess that by our mouths and in our actions, we can have a huge impact on the city and the county and those that we know. So let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your words. Lord, we trust that by following your example, your guidance, your direction out of your word, Father, we can have a huge impact here in the local area as a church. We're not worried about numbers, Father. We know that some churches, you know, strive for large congregations. They run the multimedia and the fancy music and all of that. Lord, we want to have people who are spiritually mature, that are in the Word. And Lord, we trust you that you're going to use us as a vessel to spread your Son, Jesus Christ, in the world. Amen.